Hello friends, we are starting with chapter 11, organization culture. What are the learning outcomes of this particular chapter? Let's see the learning objectives here. The concept of organizational culture, what organizational culture is all about, what is the significance of having an organizational culture, what is the difference between organizational climate and the organizational culture. So there's a difference between there's a climate and there's a culture. So what is the difference between the two? What are the disadvantages of a strong culture? The process of creating the culture and how to sustain the created culture. You have already created, you're working on putting the culture together. You've assessed and you have reached a particular standard. Now, how do we maintain that? Next, the percolation of culture to the employees. Now, culture is standardized and formed in the beginning in the top. So now how do we reach that to the down the line to the employees? How do we create an ethical and positive organizational culture? And how do we actually reach it to the first level of the organization or the first person in the organization? So that's when the culture is made. So these are the learning objectives that we have in front of us. So let's proceed and let's immerse with a deep learning here. So now when we talk about the definition, what do you understand by organizational culture? How is it defined? Organizational culture refers to a system of shared meaning held by members that distinguishes them from the other organizations. So this is what Stephen Robbins have defined as, this is a uniqueness about this particular organization. So what is that unique thing that you have, that you depict about your organization? So that's what is your organizational culture all about. And every organization would be different in their culture. Organizational culture comprises of a number of features which are pattern of basic assumptions and which group members have acquired over a period of time as they have learned to successfully cope with the internal and the external organizational related problems. And Edgar says that over a period, this does not happen overnight. Culture is created over a period of time when you have experienced all kinds of external and internal demands, the changes and all of that, and you navigate them and you understand the way of operating with those challenges, it's where your culture gets formed. So organizational culture is defined in terms of its seven key characteristics. As you can see here, the first thing is whether your organizational culture is innovative, being innovative all the time, aggressive. Do you always, innovative means, do you always operate from an innovation, doing something new, something different, or are you always aggressive? Always doing something, you're always the person to start something new in the market. Be aggressive enough to head on, take challenges head on. Or are you outcome oriented? You always have the end in mind and you then formulate your strategies. Or are you a stable organization? Or are you a people oriented organization? And are you a team oriented? So these are the culture, these are the seven characteristics which forms the organizational culture. Most large organizations have a dominant culture. So when you see a large organization, you'll always see a dominant culture, which is clearly articulated and which keeps reflecting as and when you interact with those organizations. So that is called as your dominant culture. It is unique. And it always depict the core values of the organization. Okay, so for example, if you see Tata's, so what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see Tata's? When you see any company of Tata's, whether it is to do with their Taj hotels, whether it is to do with their Tata Motors, whether it's to do with their TCS, all kinds of Tata companies. What is the first thing that comes to your mind under these? Which one do you? Does aggression comes to your mind? Outcome oriented? Probably yes. Stable? Yes. People orientation? Yes. Team orientation? Probably yes, little bit. Innovate? Not so much. Aggressive? Not so much. Innovate also to some extent, but not so aggressive, right? So there are, these are the cultures that defined a particular organization. So when you talk about dominant culture is unique to an organization. It displays the core values that it operates from of the organization. It provides members with boundaries and guidelines that shapes their behavior. So they know what they are supposed to operate from. They know their guidelines. They know their left, right, center, where they can actually make a move. What is their line of control? Where is it that they have to draw a line when it comes to a decision making? Where is it that when they have come to innovation, where is it that they have to draw a line there? So they all are aware of it. So in a large organization, that's what the dominant culture is all about. Okay, and it gives a distinct personality to the organization. As I said, as I keep on telling you, that it is a unique to any organization. Okay, now comes your subculture. Now we understood what organizational culture, dominant culture is. Now we need to understand what is a subculture. So subcultures develop in large organizations. Okay, it's not so common in smaller organizations. It's mostly developed in large organizations within the broader democracy of within the broader democratic culture. And it reflects the common issues, values, practices that members hold within a function. So that is, so you will see some similar flavors coming into being, but then this is not the really a dominant culture, but it is small, it's a smaller subculture of the dominant culture. So that's what a subculture is all about. Okay, so it is mostly applicable, mostly get formed in a large organization, and it differentiates again itself to reflect the common issues mostly. Now, there is a strong culture and there is a weak culture. Now, when you talk about strong culture, what do you mean by strong culture? Now, strong culture is internally consistent with organization's core values. Very, very clear that it is very, very congruent and in line of thoughts of organization's core values. Being, let's say, the organization believes in providing financial solutions to the end consumer. So that's the core value that they have. So to provide, no matter what it is, the organization strives to give a solution to the customer. That customer might not fall under my category. He might not even have the budget that we operate from. But is it possible to cater to his need by suggesting him, by customizing the requirement, the solution to him, or redirecting him to our partner companies? How does we do that? Okay, so that is what is your strong organizational culture all about. So it's it's consistent with the organization's core values. You understand the values so well and you accordingly take all the actions. Most employees have same views about the organizational goals and the values. Okay, they're very, very clear and almost if you talk about more than 3/4 of the employees of the organizations are aware of the culture and they start living those goals and those they work towards achieving those goals and they live those values. So that is what is called as your strong culture. Now, when it comes to weak culture, what do you understand by weak culture? Internally, it is not very consistent with the core values, with the core values of the organizations. It's not very consistent. It sometimes shows spikes. Sometimes it will be very strongly showing, but some employees would be not even aware of it. Probably the new joiners are not even, they're clueless about it. They don't know what's going on. Okay, so though that is an example of a weak culture. So they're not, they're internally inconsistent with the organization's core values. They're shared very, very narrowly. And the views of different employees may vary. Okay, so everybody do not speak the same language. Now, how do you actually achieve the uniformity of cultures? Okay, now the organizational culture influences the way people interact, the context with which the knowledge has been shared, the created, the, they will have resistance, you know, towards changes, and ultimately the way they share or the way they do not share knowledge. The way you would share knowledge with your colleagues, your customers, your suppliers, all of that will depend on the kind of culture that you come from. Yeah, so culture includes the organization's vision, values, norms, systems, symbols, you know, the kind of logos that they operate from, the assumptions that is there in the market, the environment that you work, that you operate from, the location that it has, where is the company actually located, and what are the beliefs and the habits that you have in the organization. So these are some of the nuances that you come to know when you talk about culture of an organization. The moment you hear culture, the organizational culture, you talk about values, the norms, the systems, the location, the environment, the beliefs and the habits. You can give an example. I can give an example. Let's say one of the clients that I was working with, they are one of the great places to work, and they are within those top 25. Okay, but so I was working on their leadership framework, and once I was walking down to their office, and then I had to meet the CLO and chief CLO, meaning chief learning officer. So I had to go walk past through the different cubicles and then enter his cabin. Okay, so there is a different kind of an atmosphere altogether. Okay, and the fact that it is a great place to work already, and so the moment you enter, there is a different feeling altogether. Very formal, very quiet. You cannot get any information there because everybody is so confined to their own desks. Everybody is so confined to their own work. Okay, so hence you go and then you you sit with your whoever is your client, and then you come back. And then when I was operating on the Great Place to Work survey construct, at that point in time, there was a question which was asked saying that, you know, why we have lost our position by one or two places, because they felt that because the scores in the engagement scores in terms of fun at work was very low, and the second was the engagement score of being open to ideas, kind of a thing. I don't remember the exact question that it had, but it was basically low engagement scores when it comes to fun and approach is concerned within the organization. And then they kept on telling that these are some scores that we have to really work upon to be able to achieve the previous position. So when I was working on it, so I gave this example, you know, I could completely relate to it, because when I entered for the first time, because that was the time I have sustained there. It was like month and a half, 2 months already old in the organization. I have been going there. So I could understand the nuances of the organization, and I have dealt well there. Okay, so I was comfortable. But however, so the moment I saw the scores, I immediately could resonate it, because I felt it was very very formal and no fun. People were very confined. They were just restricted to their own work. No, chit chat around. There was no fun element, which was very I was observant about. I couldn't see anything like that happening. So which was very evident. So, which means, that is something that again is a part of the culture. Okay. So, culture also includes the organization's vision, values, norms, systems, symbols, language, assumption, environment, location, beliefs, and habits. Now, culture versus formalization. Now, there is a culture which has been there in the organization for a while, and the formalization now. Now, we have spoken about formalization in our previous chapter. So, a strong culture will always build standardization. It will form systematization, regular and high formalization in an organization. It all these will also, have the same effect. The only difference that we have spoken earlier also is that it creates these without any formal written. You need not. So if you have lived the culture, you need not have to see those in pen and paper, or have to have a tangible set of rules and regulations to be able to be guided and then accordingly act. Here you're living the culture so well that you do not need to read those rules and regulations, because you know in our head it is ingrained that this is the, these are the rules that I have to follow, these are the, these are my boundaries, and these are the set of regulations that I will operate from. Beyond this, I will take a call. Right? So hence, culture and formalization can be viewed as two different means to the same end. So let us view the different roles cultures perform, which would give us an understanding of its importance to the organization. So why culture is so important and so imperative for an organization? A strong culture builds, a strong culture will always show, it is going to be very, very evident from the behavior of the employees as well. Okay, so it plays a borderline defining roles and creates differentiation amongst organization. Okay, so that's where your organization X is different from organization Y. Okay, it enables allegiance towards larger organizational goals rather than individual goals. You do not focus on individual goals here. You focus on the big picture, which is the macro view, which is the organizational goals. It increases the steadiness of the social system by acting as social adhesive. Means here it completely it increases the steadiness of the way your ecosystem has been looked at by acting as a social adhesive, holding the organization together by providing yardsticks for employee behavior. So you know that when you are exposed to a particular project, to a certain system or a situation, how do you actually act? What should your behavior be? For example, you are completely subjected to a completely ambiguous situation which you have never come up in your lifetime, and it's first time for you. So how is it that your behavior would be displayed at that point in time? How would you take care of that? Okay, so the organization's culture will always give you a yardstick to be able to display those behaviors. So today, culture becomes even more important than before, because the formal authority and the control systems have been minimized now. It has become more flatter in organization. The organization employees have been more empowered. They are able to, now, if you see a basic example of having the entire organizational completely work in a remote mode itself is a big alienation of trust, isn't it? Regardless of your years of experience or the length in the organization, the organization has trusted you upon to be able to deliver the results working from home, right? So that's again a culture of the organization. That's when it's more important in today's date. So especially in the last 2 years, it has become very, very important. And regardless of what number of hours you're working, as long as you're producing results, the organization feels good about it, says, okay, fine, this person is contributing. But there will be some organizations which will still operate from the conscious effort of monitoring employees on every hour and every minute as well. We cannot unrule those organizations as well. There are reasons behind it, but there will be organization even today who would function like that. We can't do anything about it. Okay? Because the culture does not support. A high compatibility between individual attitude and organizational culture is necessary, because it determines who is selected for a job, who receives a good performance review or a promotion. All of this brings in a high compatibility between the individual and the organizational culture. Because the moment you work, when you join an organization, you may be having a set of values that you come from, which you have imbibed from the childhood till now. And suddenly you are subjected to an organization culture which is completely, which is way ahead of what you have been brought up with. So what you will do in that case? You will probably slowly and steadily try and inculcate those behaviors and try to live with that culture. And if you're not, that's when you will take a decision, or there will be a mismatch of you with versus the organization. Right? So that's what is the significance of culture. Organizational climate is defined as, we have understood what culture is all about. Now we need to understand what is climate. Now, organizational culture and organizational climate. Now, what do you mean by organizational climate? It is, so if you have to ask about the definition, definition says that organizational climate is how members of an organization experience the culture of an organization. Okay, so the employees of the organization, how are they experiencing it? Okay, say for example, you're joining a new job, you're a new joiner, and XYZ is the organization. And the organization said that, you know, we have very open communication. We have an open door policy. Okay, and so these are some of the culture depiction that was given to you while you were interviewed, while you had onboarded probably. Then after a while, after about a week, you started, interacting with different stakeholders. And when you started going and meeting, one of the stakeholder that you knocked and you said, okay, since it's an open door policy, so you went and immediately, you said, can I come in and I will like to take 5 minutes of your time just to understand what your challenges are. The person turns, the stakeholder turns around and says that, you know what, this is not the way to come in, barge into my cabin. Please take appointment. Maybe next week, or you can check with my assistant and then we can talk about. How would you feel? Is the climate all right? Are you experiencing what the culture has been depicted? Are you experiencing? You're not experiencing. So that's the difference between the culture and the climate. So culture says something and climate is what you experience. Yeah. So the distinct culture of an organization forms a unique atmosphere which is experienced by people who are part of the organization. So you can only experience it once you're part of the organization. You cannot experience it while you have been in pre-boarding stage or a pre-joining stage, you know, where you're already doing, you're on the process of completing your paperwork and things like that. You're doing all of that. But you're not, you're not able to experience it unless and until you are being part of the organization. So once you're part of the organization, that's where you get to experience the climate. Organizational climate is much easier to experience and measure than organizational culture, and much easier to change also, right? So climate, because it's experience. You say that you have either experienced or you do not you did not experience. So it's very easy to measure as well. So the link between organizational climate and performance. So what is the link between the two? As I mentioned to you that it's the culture that the organization has said it has, you have derived it over a period of time. However, climate is what you as an individual go and experience it being part of the organization. So climate can interact with one another to produce behavior. Okay, so obviously, so let's say for an example, if I give you, so for example, let's say safety is one of the cultures that the organization live by very strongly. And then when you enter an organization, when you go, let's say you're a supplier to the organization and you went inside the organization, you're waiting for a meeting with one of the stakeholders and you see that everybody, and they have been, you know, in broad slogans everywhere, you know, safety, be safe, all these kinds of safety slogans are being here and there displayed. Okay, so which strongly says that you're an organization which lives the safety as organizational culture. Now, when you go there, it does not, whether or not it has been written, not written, people do not care. Whoever is an employee in the organization is actually with safety gears. You know, they have been taking care. They have been following each and every protocol which they have to follow for COVID, whether it is to do with social distancing, whether it is to do with the sanitization, all of that they have been. So the moment you see that there's one meeting room which is getting over, immediately the person from housekeeping comes, or maybe the employees themselves are so cognizant enough that they spray the handles, they spray the table, and they keep it ready for the next person to come and do the meeting. So it depicts in the culture, in the climate as well. So that's the link between the culture and the climate. It also influences the habits people adopt, by the way. So it over a period of time, because you've been living the culture so strongly that people are able to adopt it to a habit level. that you're every day doing it. For example, let's say the safety issue. So you there have been sprays all around, there have been sanitizers all around. The moment you're done with the meeting, you sanitize the mic, you sanitize the table, you sanitize everything, whatever you have touched, the handles and everything, and you moved out. Similarly, another person comes and does the same thing in the meeting room. You make sure that person also makes sure that it is ready for the next person to use. So it becomes, you start adopting it and making it into a habit. If the climate for, if everything, if the climate for a particular culture is positive, you will see that it is being displayed in the behavior level as well. An appropriate climate can be created if it works for everyone at a level consistent with their level of potential, capability, values and interest. It cannot work in tandem with a group of people or with the top management or with a particular department. It has to happen at the org level and it has to be appropriate for everybody. The leadership interaction between managers and subordinates, including shared context, personal effectiveness, appraisal, feedback, recognition, coaching, all these things should be taken into account. So everywhere use those nuances here. Okay, so you make it so appropriate that everywhere it becomes applicable. It's not that, it's applicable only this sort of people, this category of people. It may not be applicable. Let's give another example. Let's say you are saying that, because of the COVID, let's take an example of a retail store in a mall. Okay, and you're saying that, it should be a touchless selling now. Now, if you're doing a touchless selling and the customers are coming and, trying to buy out stuff. So what you're doing is, you're telling them that I've seen so many, I can name some brands like Decathlon is following this particular practice since the COVID pandemic's initial days of pandemic. So it becomes a time consuming, but at least it is very, very safe. Okay, so what happens is they say that, okay, you do not have to do any kind of billing to avoid any kind of face-to-face interaction and to avoid maintain the social distancing. What we would like to do is we would like you to download the app or go to the link and do the purchase yourself. Okay, so select the products and or else you can just, if you're finding it difficult technologically, you will just take help of the cashier for that, nothing else. So but at the same time we say that as a culture, so this is a new norm that we have adopted for the store. Okay, but at an organization level we are saying that our culture is that the moment any retail store staff comes to the duty, the moment they mark their attendance for their duty, they have to submit their mobile phones, and the mobile phones are not allowed on the shop floor. Are we living the climate with the culture? Now, what is it required and what is it that we are doing, right? So that's where the difference between. So the organizational culture says that, on retail store, we will not operate telephones, mobile phones with the staff so that there is no discomfort within the store. But now you're saying that, you're helping them, helping the customers to do the sale using the mobile phone app. Not every customer is going to come and spend so much of time downloading the app and all of that. You'll have to give your phone to that. So that's the difference. So that's where there's a mismatch between the climate and the culture. Okay, so hence it has to be appropriate. When you talk at the culture at the top level, it has to be appropriate for all levels as well. You cannot just say that, okay, this is applicable for head office and this is applicable for X store, but Y store will be allowed to use a mobile phone. We cannot do that. We have to make it appropriate for everyone, right? There should be a clear articulation of accountability and authority to engender trust and confidence in all working relationships. So this is again another link that we need to really, really be cognizant of, that the articulation of accountability has to be as clear, crystal clear as possible, so that there is a trust and there is a confidence mills and there is no mismatch towards the end. At the end of the year, there is no mismatch of expectation versus performance. Right, so in every working relationship, this is expected. Though culture can increase organizational allegiances and enhance the regularity of employee behavior, it is overall valuable to people Okay, but it does not overlook the negative aspects of culture, especially the strong ones. If you have strong cultures, what is it that it happens when you institutionalize it? Okay, so if you institutionalize a particular culture, how does it help you? Okay, and what are the advantages and disadvantages of institutionalization? So institutionalization refers to the process by which an organization gets valued for itself rather than its outputs. Okay, so there are some processes for which you get rewarded just because of the process. Okay, just because of that rules or the regulation or whatever you may call it that you follow. Okay, rather than actually going ahead and looking at the results. The acceptable behavioral norms are so obvious and ingrained in everybody in the organization that it results in building acceptance of behaviors and habits that must be queried and scrutinized. Okay, so institutionalization, this is the process by which organization gets valued regardless of what your output has been, whether you have been successful, you have been double the profit, 2x, 3x, 4x business, doesn't matter. But there are certain things that you had to take care of. These are the values of the organization that you had to live by, and you have 100% divided by that, and you get rewarded for that. Thank you so much, everyone.